in a vast abandoned library on the borders of civilization. Matthew and Eric find themselves trapped and lost with little hope of escape, surrounded by nothing but the esoteric books of definitely real authors. They resolve to do all that they can do. Read. This is Lost in Narration.
Well, I don't have an intro bit planned. Do either of you have an intro bit?
Huh?
Besides the fact that Eric's bleeding.
He's immediately out.
He's gone.
I'm playing a game right now.
Eric, are you bleeding right now?
No. From what orifice?
I guess any, all.
Okay, then yeah. A few.
All of them?
No, a few of them.
Well, a few typically means three, and I feel like most people don't have many more than three orifices. So it sounds like all of them.
You think most people don't have more than three orifices?
Well, I could count mine right now.
Please do.
Let me close my eyes and count them. One, two. Oh.
No, like name them. Like name them.
Oh, wait. I have a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait,
name them all.
Oh, wait. No. I am one. You know, the spot.
You
or
like your
that guy
story
was called
are full of holes. What?
Nice.
Oh, full of holes. I really like that. But what if instead of the black spot, whatever that guy's called, what if he was called the orifice?
What?
Yeah, big Spider-Man fans in the audience. is this thing on?
Did you say?
I'm just kidding. I actually
spot?
Do have a microphone. Because I was supposed to order the adapter from Apple.
Sorry, hold
like
on.
3 weeks.
Wait,
ago,
sorry. Quick question. Did you say black spot?
Yeah. I may be thinking of a Doctor Who episode by the same name.
Yeah, his name was just Spot.
I think I said Spot the first time, and then I added Black Spot. So.
Well, that was like the joke is that he's really dumb and like a bad villain, so he's just like, I have spots on me, so I'm Spot. And then he's actually like really like he's actually very he's very good villain. He's really.
Wait, maybe I missed some subtext, but was he the villain of that movie?
Huh? Yeah.
I need to rewatch that.
I haven't seen it. I don't know what you're talking
about.
You just said
big Spider-Man fans, like you thought we were in Spider-Man and you haven't even seen
it. I need
movie?
To rewatch this shit. This must be one of those layered movies they talk about where there's more than one.
Like the whole point of it was that he was the bigger boss and he's going to be like the future.
Honestly, like, these are movies where maybe I'm just better than everyone else.
Dumb? Sorry.
But I'm just, what I said, not the dumb one. Maybe I just turn off my brain and just fucking enjoy it, okay? Look, I don't know about all this double meaning, all this subtext, all this entendre that you're talking about. When I watch a Spider-Man movie, kinda cool. I turn my brain off and I watch those fuckers fade out, okay? As far as
Speaking
I'm aware, the
of-
spider is the villain. What did you say?
Speaking of turning your brain off, is anyone going to say hi to me?
No.
Oh my
I just
kind
of jumped in. I'm here in the library. You guys are just jaded
Who
to this
cares?
Shit. I do.
Wait. I have one for this. How the fuck did you get in here?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in years.
Good either. One. Callback, for sure.
Callback to when we did the premise.
I mean, I don't know. I think that I just kind of popped in as like a manifestation of my sadness, which is what
quick
I assume.
Thing. Quick thing, really quick. So you begged us to ask you how you got here and say hi, all that.
I did not beg
and
you.
And then you absolutely begged us to say it. And then you said, I don't know. I guess I just... got here.
No,
that's what
I
you
said,
wanted. That's what you
no,
wanted
I said,
from us.
I said that because I'm so sad, I just sort of manifested in this library, which is an absolute like representation of depression.
Jesus.
So that's just where you go. Yeah.
Now let's go silent on that for a second. Think about it. I took a hiatus from here because I was also sad.
Yeah.
And I just
congratulations
sort of
on winning the Super Bowl, by the way. That's huge.
Hell yeah, brother. Won it.
Did I? I didn't listen to him.
I don't think Matthew ever said that, but it wasn't a description.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like a realistic reason why he wouldn't be in the episodes. And the Super Bowl had just been on.
Yeah.
Nice. So I said,
I also hear that you were, if you could believe it, operating on King Charles's prostate. And I don't know if you're qualified to do that, but I do support you doing that.
I can't divulge, like, patient information.
Oh, of course.
But yeah. I also don't know who King Charles is. So it could have. I could have been.
I'm glad you brought it up. I'd really like if we could get into King Charles's prostate on this episode. If we could just get right in there and around and talk about it.
Yeah, I think that this is an episode where we should definitely talk about the prostates of really old world leaders. That's a good idea.
Prostate of our nation. Am I right?
The prostate of the world.
Your nation.
Oh, I just got a text. Nation. I just got a text from my royal guy. My palace guy.
Your royal guy.
He's dead. The king is dead.
The king is dead.
Wow.
The king is dead.
Who's next?
You ever seen Succession?
You ever seen
Who's
Succession?
Next? Probably someone more poor.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Have you ever seen Succession, though?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it. I've seen
more
it.
More of a pre-seed guy.
But, like, who's in Succession? Nice.
Oh, who's gonna succeed?
Mr. Baldy Bad at Photoshop.
Who?
And his wife, BBL.
Don't call Kate that. Oh, BBL. Yeah, no, that's her. Yeah, no, I'm glad we could get into it because I really, really, really want to find her.
Hey, this is just for the viewers at home. I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. Either I don't look at news or they're talking about something that I'm supposed to be understanding, but I don't understand
Eric,
what the fuck they're talking
no
about.
One loves to hear about the royals more than Americans. I am stunned you don't know the latest about Kate and how she died a year ago.
Also, Eric, you have to stop, like, looking at just a bookshelf and directing your comments to the viewers at home.
Yeah, there are books.
My little guys in there.
This isn't a podcast. Yeah, they're, huh?
Have you ever heard of dust mites?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's fair. I guess they are viewers and they are
at home. My God. Yeah. I've never noticed them before, but they are very, very large, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And they are wrapped with attention whenever I talk to them. Yeah. They are here.
They're avid.
What the fuck are you guys talking about? Who's BBL?
Kate Middleton is dead.
Who?
The, like, princess or whatever. I don't know, dude.
Is that the good one or the bad one? Which one's the good one? Which one's the bad one?
The bad
what
one.
What do you mean, man?
The bad one is Meghan Markle. But don't ask the British media why, because they will not have a good answer. Oh. I got a call here. He looks pissed. He looks very, very
if
angry.
You go to,
we're gonna keep that in the episode.
You hit the
Dox Eric on the episode.
This would be really, really good for viewership.
Yeah, so when you turn into that, you're just gonna go straight up and it's like building in that driveway.
I know it. Well, if we could put in the episode title with where we normally have guests with Eric's real address.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Why are you laughing? Did he say something funny to you? Did he say a good joke on the phone? Was he like, oh, I hope I don't slip and if your food falls into my mouth, that'll be crazy. And then Eric's like, huh? And then he hears, and you're like, well, did you... Are you eating it right now?
He's like, don't worry, I'm going to regurgitate it into your mouth like you're a little baby bird.
He opens a door and it's just an empty bag. I'm sorry, man. I guess I ate your food that I was supposed to get you.
Yeah, definitely like at least bleep out some of the things I said.
No, I'll enhance it.
Yeah. What were you guys talking about while I was...
We were talking about how...
Not hear us?
No, I had my headphone off. I was talking to someone on the phone. I was talking to DoorDash.
All right, well, you're going to love to hear that in the episode. In all its glory, for sure. Speaking of all its glory, you want to read a book that I didn't write?
Well, sorry, I was going to say, like, I came here through the children's section, and I did find a book, and it seems to be, like, for, like, teaching people the alphabet.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. Give me one second, because I do have to pick up the food now.
Wow, this is
right back.
Fucked.
Just, yeah, keep going.
You already talked to the guy. Isn't that enough for you?
Keep riffing. Yeah, keep riffing. Keep riffing.
I bet he described your food really good. What the fuck?
So how are you, Matthew?
Am I?
All right, guys, I'm back. How's everything
going? Yeah, we're high energy. We're talking about some really funny stuff. Yeah, I was just sort of riffing about how my life is, yeah, ruined.
I made my way here to you guys by going through the children's section. And I did find a book, tickled my fancy, if you will. It does seem to be like some kind of book to like help you learn the alphabet. And I sort of figure that's something that you guys could use a refresher on. Just based on the title, I assume that's what this is. And so, yeah, like, I thought we could, like, read a book.
I really need a refresh on my letters. So I'm honestly really glad you brought this in. I'm hoping it's going to be extremely educational, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the title is right here. It's called A, B, No.
I'm sorry?
It's called A, B, No.
See, it's the no that surprises me in that sequence.
Well, I figure...
See, it's the no. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
See, it's the what? No. Fuck off.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, I figure...
Matthew did not actually get it.
I actually you don't get the joke. I'm going to start crying in 3, 2, 1 if you don't tell me what the joke is.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
Tell me what the joke means. Tell me what the joke
means. Let's read it.
Yeah, let's read the book.
Yeah, we can read it. As long as you tell me what the fucking joke means.
Because you said C, it's the no.
Yeah, like A, B, C.
Because it'd be A, B, C.
It's the no.
No is the C. What I said. I think the problem is I don't hear what I say.
Yeah, famously that is the problem, actually.
Bradley Broadley sits on a... This is not going to be
bad.
There wasn't even anything to trip me up. I literally just like involuntarily stopped speaking. Bradley Broadley
sits and you couldn't go. Sorry, go on.
I get like genuinely pissed, even though I've only made it when you didn't talk. I made it through 3 words. Bradley Broadley sits on a couch playing Mario Kart. He is maining Toad, obviously. Like in his veins. Sorry, that's mainlining. That doesn't make any sense. I'm gonna start again.
Yes,
boo! All
right, from Bradley Broadley.
Bradley Broadley. Did you say go ahead from Bradley Broadley? Being like, right here? You see lane one? Bradley Broadley sits on a couch playing Mario Kart. He's maining Toad, obviously. Next to him, his friend Harrison Nevernude is frantically mashing buttons on his own controller. He has lost 9 straight games to Bradley, but he's positive he's going to beat him this time. Neither he nor Bradley has realized that his controller is disconnected. It's his couch that they're sitting on, incidentally. I guess I am assuming Harrison has the most lanes, so that's going to be my normal voice.
No, Harrison leaves in a minute.
Oh, all right. Hold on, I would have never guessed. All right, here we go. Oh my god, I can't think of any voices.
He had man. No, he had man. No, was, other.
Okay. Oh wait, man. Of course. All right. Come on. Stupid piece of shit, baby Peach. I knew I should have picked Diddy Kong.
You do know you're a Wario, right?
What? Harrison promptly loses his 10th straight race. With an ear-splitting scream of rage, he chucks his controller directly at his television. It collides with the screen with such force that it punches a hole directly through the television and dents the wall behind it. This is a completely normal way to react to losing a video game. Don't even worry about it. Bradley pats Harrison's knee comfortingly.
It's okay, buddy. He'll beat me next time.
Rematch!
Sorry, man. I can't right now. I've got that date tonight, remember? With that girl from Tinder?
Alright. You're going with her to that slam poetry open mic, right? No offense, but isn't that kind of an insane first date? I mean, slam poetry is legally considered torture.
If I had a friend that talked like this, I would never talk to them again.
Well, he's apparently gonna leave soon anyway, so you won't have to fucking worry about hearing this shit boy. See?
Is that true?
I don't know, probably.
Well, I mean, yeah. I guess it's pretty weird. Wouldn't be my first choice. Cut me some slack, though. She's a 10. And by 10, I mean she's my first match in over a year who's not a sentient country.
Sentient country?
I'm not even going to say it.
Fair. Fair. Well, sentient country is a say. Sure. Fair. Well, sentient country is a say. You sure you like this girl enough to go to a slam poetry open mic? You're not just being a desperate little virgin?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, sick. Have a great time, buddy. We'll have a rematch some other time. Bradley gets up and leaves Harrison's apartment. Harrison was never heard from again. Harrison was found dead later that night.
It's funny because Matthew, like, these are the most normal names Matthew's ever been given, and he can't say Bradley or Harrison.
Behind him, Harrison retrieves his controller from where it's lodged in the wall and resumes furiously mashing the buttons. Goddamn fucking baby peach. About an hour later, Bradley is standing in front of the Frantic Weasel, a cafe slash bar slash stationery store. He went home first, of course, to change into a shirt that's less covered in Dorito dust. He nervously wipes his sweaty palms on his jeans as he awaits his first real date in several years, unless you count his brief and ill-fated fling with sentient... Fuck! The easiest word in those... that two-word... two-word sequence. Unless you count his brief and ill-inflated... It was a balloon and it popped.
Well, not yet.
And that pops.
Spoilers. Oh,
spoilers.
Not coming through on the mic. Not coming through to us.
Well, it will for the audience. And they're going to compliment it.
They never compliment anything that we do.
Yep. Unless you count his brief and ill-fated fling with sentient Uzbekistan. Which you shouldn't, honestly. Shouldn't do that. Anyway, he's pretty excited to go on a date with an actual human woman, even if it is at an event which may or may not be Kaleem. Even if it is at an event which may or may not be legally considered torture. When she'd invited him here tonight, she'd also mentioned that she'd be sharing some of her own work, and he couldn't figure out how to suggest a different first date without being rude. He also couldn't bring himself to refuse and jeopardize his chances with a legit 10. Well, maybe it won't be so bad. It might even be fun. Probably not, obviously, but Bradley is trying to stay positive. Eventually, a woman approaches him, and Bradley immediately recognizes her as Jamboree Lollygag, his date for this evening. She looks just like her Tinder photo, dog filter and all.
Bradley? Bradley Broadley?
Whoa.
Jamboree stops her in her tracks and pushes a strand of hair behind her.
Are you okay?
You're like getting it, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, sometimes I stop.
Just...
Jamboree stops in her tracks and pushes a strand of hair behind her ears self-consciously.
What? Is there something on my face?
Yeah. Dog filter.
Oh, how embarrassing. I thought I turned that off.
Jamboree gives her head a quick shake and the dog filter disappears, replaced with a beautify filter.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I always thought those filters were, like, inside the phone. Not in real life.
Oh, they are. My great-grandfather was an iPhone 6.
She is truly a 10. Bradley sighs dreamily. This slam poetry open mic will surely be worth enduring for a shot at a second date with such a smoke show. I can just cut the gap there.
Yeah, no close that.
Tighten it up.
Bradley and Jamboree head inside the Frantic Weasel, the bar slash cafe slash port...
That's a fair one. I get that. Yeah. I get that one because you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Poetry store.
Poetry store. Hello, I'll have one. The bar slash cafe slash poetry store is already bustling with open mic attendees, but Bradley and Jamboree manage to find an available table. They order coffees and sit making small talk. Honestly, the sparks are flying, just like Harrison's TV earlier after he put his controller right through it. Jamboree puts her hand over Bradley's on the table and smiles at him.
Listen, Bradley, thanks for coming to this open mic with me. I know it's a pretty unconventional first date. I normally wouldn't even ask, but honestly, I just feel a connection with you, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess this is kind of unconventional, but I don't mind. I'm excited to hear some slam poetry.
Jamboree gives Bradley a puzzled look.
Slam poetry?
Before Bradley can respond, the lights dim, and a short woman with extremely dated scene hair, you know, like on MySpace, prances onto the stage to wild applause. Okay.
Jesus.
Right, here we go.
This has to be the second surprise. What this is a man, then other.
So the man one that was just be normal. The normal one, right? That I prepared, as you could probably tell.
Well, man was one, but this then there one, was
yeah,
other
the number two normal, has to be a special surprise. Yeah. All right. Okay. So this is gonna be a really good new voice that we're gonna do here for this character.
You're gonna be able to keep track. You can remember how to do it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. No,
just wondering. I wouldn't worry about that. Surprise!
No, man.
Surprise!
Oh, fuck. Okay, so short woman with scene hair.
Yeah, you got it.
Welcome! Welcome, everybody, to our bi-weekly fat...
I was like, oh my god, I got it, I got the voice. And I stopped reading.
Welcome, everybody, to our bi-weekly fanfiction night.
What's up?
You all know the drill, you've written some fanfic, and now you're here to share it with your peers in the way that fanfiction was always meant to be shared. Out loud, into a microphone, with your real face and legal name attached. I'm your master of ceremonies tonight, XX Vampire Lover, XX.
I thought she said everyone's using their legal names tonight.
XX Vampire Lover XX is her legal name. Her mom really got in on the ground floor of that whole Twilight Mania thing. She was reading Twilight while in labor, mere minutes after the book was released. It was in the news.
No, I hope you all remembered that. No, I hope you all remembered that tonight's theme is Fuckfest. No, yeah, that's right, I said fuckfest. No coffee shop AUs or fluffix tonight, folks. Unless they somehow end with your characters slapping meat.
Slapping meat.
Yeah, that's I want to thank everyone who's signed up so far at the table near the front door. For those who haven't yet, there's still a few spaces left. So get on that, and no need to put your keys in a bowl. That's not what we're doing. First up, please welcome to the stage, Lucianne Fetch. That's still me. As the crowd gathered in the cafe slash bar slash plant store applauds, Lucianne Fetch makes her way up to the stage. She's wearing one of those Super Hulk t-shirts from like 2012. Insane! She takes MC XX Vampire Lovers X. She takes MCXX Vampire Lover XX's place behind the microphone. Oh, sounded like I said X. And a single spotlight turns on, illuminating her dramatically. She clears her throat.
What was Lucy's vibe? What was it again?
Her vibe was that she's like really wants approval.
Okay, hold on one second.
I believe Storm said she was that bitch, whatever that means.
I didn't. Yeah. Roll, check the tapes.
Alone Time, by me, Lucianne Fetch. No archive warnings apply. Fandoms, Doctor Who, Supernatural. Pairings, Sam Winchester / the Doctor. John Watson / the doctor passed. Additional tags: established relationship, slice of life, mutual masturbation, orgasm delay / denial, inflation.
Wow. Oh my god, I said Ellenflated earlier. What the fuck?
I know, it's crazy. We're like so on the same wavelength.
It's literally gonna pop in a sexual manner in the script, and I predicted it somehow.
Wow, interesting. It's hard to do anything unexpected with Super Hulock these days.
What is happening? What the fuck is inflation?
John Bree smiles at him indulgently.
You're about to find out, aren't you?
Did you deliberately make it so he would have to read about Doctor Who?
I didn't do it on purpose, but when I realized, I did think it was really funny, and I did keep it on purpose.
Yeah, he's gonna love this shit.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even know that I fucking hate Super Hulock so much from my Tumblr days.
I mean, why wouldn't you, right?
That's so true. Matthew would have loved that shit. Did you take a full like, AO3 and just kind of attach it?
No, I wrote this. I wrote all of this.
Worse.
Alright. Worse than plagiarism.
Here we go. Sam Winchester really wasn't expecting his life to turn out like this. After leaving Stanford and losing Jessica, he'd begun to resign himself to a probably short life of hunting with Dean and wallowing in misery. His loneliness was even beginning to seem tolerable. Of course, that was before the day that a bright blue British police box had appeared before them in a field while he and Dean were hunting a demon who was possessing some poor farmhand. After Sam had managed to stop Dean from shooting the box, they'd approached just as the door opened and the doctor stepped out. For the doctor's part, he'd been hoping to travel a while without a companion. It had broken his heart when his last companion, John Watson, had left him to stay in London with some detective. But the second he set eyes on Sam, he knew he was going to invite Sam to travel with him. Sam had been hesitant at first, not sure he could leave his brother Dean to hunt alone. But the connection between him and the doctor was simply undeniable. After the doctor helped the two Winchesters hunt down the demon, he and Sam broke the news to Dean that they would be leaving together.
Jesus, lots of exposition. Get to the good stuff already, right?
It hadn't taken long for the doctor to get Sam to open up about his most secret desires, the ones he had never even shared with Jess. Really thought that said Jesus. And thanks to the TARDIS, the doctor is more than capable of getting his hands on technologies that can help him indulge Sam's desires, including the remote-controlled air pump that he's currently using inside Sam's lubed-up.
Oh no. Oh god, no.
I'm really glad my parents stopped listening to this podcast. For the next 10 minutes, the audience sits in rapt silence. By the end of the story, Sam is utterly inflated, and Bradley is utterly appalled.
I can't believe what I just heard.
Jamboree joins the rest of the audience in applauding wildly.
Yeah, me neither. You gotta admire the originality.
I mean, do I, though?
Jamboree doesn't seem to hear him. Lucianne Futz curtsies daintily and leaves the stage, and MCXX Vampire Lover XX takes her place.
Nerf!
Right off the bat.
Wow! Folks, give it up for Lucianne Futz. That was inspired. Next up, we've got perennial crowd favourite, I don't like where this is going, star. Next up, we've got perennial crowd favourite, legend, Clamp. Last month, she graced our ear holes with a truly sensual tale of...
Onceler-cest?
The fuck is that?
You guys missed the Onceler-cest craze on Tumblr.
Badly.
Yeah, I guess.
Sad.
What is that?
When that fucking The Lorax movie came out and everybody started shipping the Onceler from
I did definitely want to fuck him. I just didn't realize it was a name for it. No, I'm glad I have a community. Last month, she graced our ear holes with a truly sensual tale of Onceler-cest tentacle porn. Let's see what she fucks our little dick holes with this month, is what I say. You heard
she,
me.
Okay, real quick. You definitely were not. You turned into an old woman. I don't remember what it was before, but yeah, it was not an old woman.
Bad.
Legend.
You, like, you lost all of your teeth. Clunk. You were just gums at the end there.
Yes, they tumble out. As I was speaking.
Of our little dickhole.
Regent Clamp takes the stage. Oh, thank God it's not me. She is the very picture of quiet dignity. She looks out over the crowd, making meaningful eye contact with each and every member of the audience. It takes several minutes.
Every day with someone new. By 3-time Hugo Award winner, Bridget Clamp. Hollywood/Sinkhole City RPF. Gracie Cowbell / Susie Roundhouse. Additional tags. Self-cessed. Exceptionally cunnilingus. Fraudage. References to real-world tragedies. Shark slander. Internalized lesbophobia.
Bradley contemplates getting up and walking out, but he can't seem to move his body. Apparently, he is frozen in shock and horror. Then again, even if he could move, would he? Would he really? Jamboree is a legit 10. Well, maybe 9.5 after the events of this evening. What else is he going to do? Get back with sentient Uzbekistan? After sentient Uzbekistan tried to suicide bait him? No. I don't even really know what that means.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you because it's happened to me, Matthew.
All right. Well, yeah, I can have that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Context clues, I guess. No, yeah. His dignity just won't allow it. He has no... Wait, what is suicide bait? Is that where they're like, you should kill yourself?
So, yeah. Imagine, suicide bait is like when I'm like, I'm going to kill myself if you don't do this.
No. It's like trying to bait someone into killing themselves.
I think there's two different. I think mine is just gaslighting.
Well, sentient Uzbekistan, let's go on the record to say that sentient Uzbekistan was trying to convince Bradley Broadley to kill himself.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So which one is when my said that if I left her, she would kill herself?
That one. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. What's that one?
We have good. after sentient Uzbekistan tried to suicide bait him? No. His dignity just won't allow it. He has no choice but to sit here and listen to this Gracie Cowbell
slander
with a fucking name and I can't read that shit. He has no choice but to sit here
and listen to this
Gracie Cowbell Susie Reno's self-sessed horror show. Sorry, I had to get through.
I'm going to stop you right now. I'm going to stop you right now because what the fuck do you mean, Matthew? You make the worst names for yourself to read because every time you should try to read it, you should try saying them.
I should be able to read Susie.
Yeah, but you do Susie Roundhouse. We had a whole thing where there was like a character that we misnamed like 3 times, so there was like 3 of the same character.
Yeah, and that led to Y2K22.
Yeah.
Gracie Cowbell is a wonderful actress. In fact, those were the first words she ever heard. When she first emerged, screaming, from her mother's womb, the nurse who'd caught her had looked up, wide-eyed, at Mrs. Cowbell and said, "Wow, your daughter is a wonderful actress." And so she is. Sometimes, Gracie Cowbell finds herself submerged so deeply in a character that she almost loses herself. She embodies the character so perfectly that she nearly becomes them, leaving Gracie Cowbell behind. What she would never admit to anyone is that it's a huge turn-on. Nothing revs her motor quite like looking in the mirror and seeing someone who looks just like her, but who's not her, staring back. What's she supposed to do about it, though? Eat her own pussy? Please. She's an actress, not a contortionist. Yes, one day... What?
Sorry, muttered yes, bitch. On you go.
Okay. One day, Gracie wakes up to the distinct sensation of someone else in her bed. She rolls over to find a woman who looks exactly like her, but is definitely not her. Surely she must still be sleeping and having a wonderful dream. She reaches up and gives her own nipples a twist. She doesn't wake up, so apparently this is totally real. "Who are you?" demands the incredibly sexy lookalike in her bed. "Why, I'm Gracie Cowbell," says Gracie, a little offended. This stranger is out here stealing her face and doesn't even know her name. The nerve of some people. A look of comprehension dawns on the stranger's face. "Ah, I see what's happened here," she says. that sinkhole was actually an interdimensional portal. And rather than plummeting to my death along with my lover, Uber driver, I've landed here, in an alternate reality, where I really am renowned actress Gracie Cowbell, instead of just being Susie Roundhouse, the woman who hired a vulnerable shark to murder my husband, young Leonard. I'm sorry, what? Says Gracie. You hired a shark to murder your husband? Why? Susie shrugs, a little sheepish. It's hard to explain, really. There was just no passion there. He was a nice enough man, but, well, he made me so dry. Even my lover, Uber driver. I'm not sure I really felt anything for him either. I think I might be, I don't know, a psychopath? Or, says Gracie contemplatively, maybe you're a lesbian? Susie blinks in surprise. A lesbian? Well, that might explain why no man has ever made me feel whole. Feel your whole? Says Gracie seductively. Don't mind if I
That's
do.
Crazy. That is crazy stuff. I'm surprised you didn't pretend that this was just another script written by me, because it would obviously seem like I'd ran fanfic about my own cat.
Also,
is this canon?
When you were reading that, yes. When you were reading that, it first all I could think of in the beginning was that you sounded so much like the WatchMojo.com girl. Like, it just was that cadence for like the first half, and I was like, "That's so good," because it's. I don't think you're intentionally doing it, but it's really funny.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
Welcome back to WatchMojo.
Welcome to.
Go ahead.
What follows can only be described as watchmojo.com. And then there's a watchmojo. What follows can only be described as sloppy.
This episode is sponsored by watchmojo.com.
Can you fucking believe it? Top 10 ways that's blowing my mind right now. Not in terms of the writing, which is honestly pretty impeccable. Just sloppy in terms of the amount of bodily fluids and where said fluids end up. By the time Bridget Clamp bows and leaves the stage, Bradley is white as a sheet and dripping with sweat. Jamboree is applauding.
Wow, I really didn't think she could top last month's Onceler-cest, but Bridget's just full of surprises.
All right, give me a second. I gotta get this guttural. Peaked really hard.
Just blew out your mic.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Jamboree looks over at Bradley and frowns, her clap slowing as she takes in his rattled demeanor. She tries to catch Bradley's eye, but he's avoiding her gaze. You could say he's a real jammy dodger. Sorry. I don't know why I said that. That was really not okay. Anyway, moving on.
Bradley, are you all right?
Bradley opens his mouth to answer, but can't figure out what to say. He is, of course, not even remotely all right, but he doesn't want to say anything that might hurt Jamboree's feelings. After all he's been through tonight, he refuses to go home without at least getting to second base. Before he can figure out what to say, MCXX Vampire Lover XX once again takes the stage. And this is her voice. Brilliant! Just brilliant. You've outdone yourself once again, Bridget. All right, folks, next up we've got Sock Brownlee. This is his first fuckfest, folks, so let's give him a nice warm hello. Welcome. Sock Brownlee takes the stage to enthusiastic applause. Nervously, he adjusts one of his three bow ties. The crowd waits expectantly.
Hello, everyone. I guess I'll just get right into it. Okay, so five times Naruto managed to take Sasuke by surprise, and one time he didn't. Uchiha Sasuke, Uzumaki Naruto, additional tags, confessions, and enemies to lovers, lovers to enemies, canon compliant. Feelings. All right.
Feelings.
This might not be so bad. Gracious smut. Armpit kink.
Did you just say gracious smut?
Sorry. Yeah.
No. Close her eye red eyes.
Gratuitous smut. Armpit kink. How the fuck do you say emotophilia?
Emetophilia.
Emetophilia. Public humiliation. Spanking. Urethral play. Improper use of medical equipment. Cuddling and snuggling. Praise kink.
Bradley blacks out for a solid 40 minutes. When he comes to, the audience is giving Sok a standing ovation. He, Bradley, is shaking like a startled chihuahua.
You know what? No. No. I can't take any more of this. Not even a home run would be worth enduring the depravity I've witnessed tonight. Jump. I've got to get out of here.
Fuck.
Let me finish, man. Jesus.
Jesus.
What the fuck? Sorry, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
Jamboree. Dawson here. Jamboree. I'm over the one going standing ovation. Sorry, I thought I was going to sing this. She does, however, sit in the corner of her eye when Bradley stands up and shrugs on his coat.
Bradley, where are you going?
I'm sorry, Jamboree. You seem really great, but I just don't think this is my kind of scene. I'm going to head out.
Jamboree's face falls, and her eyes fell with tears.
Oh, okay. I understand. I guess this is pretty intense for a first date. I really wanted someone to be here in my corner, you know? Are you sure you can't stay? It's just, well, I think I'm up next. Please? I promise I'll let you pick the date next time.
Bradley sighs heavily.
She's a 10, dude.
And considers. Huh?
Nothing?
Bradley sighs heavily and considers. On one hand, tonight, God, I really want to sing this.
What is wrong with you, man?
On one hand, tonight he has truly witnessed depraved horniness on a level he can barely even fathom. On the other hand, Jamboree is basically a 10. After a moment, he takes his coat back off and sits down. Jamboree beams at him.
Oh, thank you, Bradley. You won't regret this. I really think you're going to enjoy my work.
Bradley seriously doubts that, and he's also pretty sure he is going to regret this. Nevertheless, he remains in his seat as MCXX Vampire Lover XX calls Jamboree up to the stage. The crowd is still pretty amped up from that Naruto shit, so they're hooting and hollering and stamping their feet. Jamboree waits for them to settle down, smoothing down her skirt and reapplying her lip gloss. Finally, the room falls silent, and Jamboree steps up to the mic. She delivers her masterpiece. I developed a lisp. She delivers her masterpiece with gravitas.
Washington Nodding the Delahore by Jamboree Lollygag. Author chose not to use archive warnings. Early American History RPF. George Washington / John Adams. Additional tags. Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics. Alpha George Washington. Omega John Adams. I cannot stress enough that this is a fic about the actual Founding Fathers. This is not Hamilton fanfiction, goddammit. Nodding. Dubious consent. Oral sex. Penetration. Office sex. Dubious. Office sex. Mating cycles / in heat. BDSM dynamics. Secret Omega. President Washington looked up from his desk. He had stayed at his office long after sunset, working diligently on a new piece of Finally, though, he had a draft he was satisfied with. He stood and shrugged on his coat before making his way out of his office and down the hall. With the lateness of the hour, Washington had assumed that he must be alone in the building. But as he walked past the door to John Adams's office, he heard strange noises coming from within. It almost sounded like someone inside must be in pain. Alarmed. Sorry, I just saw Matthew's face.
Speaking of alarm.
Okay.
I'm reading along with fucking just in it. I'm here.
Okay. Alarmed. What? Fuck you, Matthew. I can't. Okay.
Alarmed. Washington swung the door open without knocking and was greeted by a very surprising sight.
John Adams was... Okay. I can't. Okay. I wrote this. Okay.
You did. You did write it. You have to remind, you have to remind yourself about that.
You just remember, is John Adams a dog in this version?
Who is the beta? You only said alpha and omega in that.
We'll find out.
Betas are just normal people in ABL.
Okay.
They're just like normal guys.
I don't care
There's
anymore.
There's no beta here. Anyway.
Now that you've said all that, I don't want to know.
John Adams was curled up on his clearly deep in heat. Washington was shocked. He had thought that Adams, like Washington himself and the rest of the founding was an alpha. He had certainly never had reason to believe otherwise. Adams didn't smell like an omega. But Washington couldn't deny what was right before his eyes. Adams had stripped off most of his clothing and was panting and whimpering while wriggling. Fuck. Christ. I wasn't thinking about the fact that I was gonna have to say all this out loud.
Yeah, why didn't you give this to one of us? That's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah, no. Okay. Okay. Adams had stripped off most of his clothing and was panting and whimpering while wriggling around in a puddle of the scent of his heat filled the room. George, Adams gasped out, his humiliation clear in his voice. John, Washington replied smoothly, this is quite unexpected. How have you been hiding this from everyone? Adams must have realized there was no use lying. He cast his eyes down and spoke quietly. I use an artificial scent. Fascinating, said Washington. His own arousal was growing the longer he stood in the And your wife? Does she know? Are you her bitch? She doesn't know, Adams confessed, his squirming intensifying. I always find an excuse to be out of the house during my heat. I wasn't expecting you to be here so late. I'm sorry. You really think apologies will get you out of this, John? Washington growled. Adams just whimpered in response. Staring at him, Washington slowly began to strip off his own clothing. I need to not look at you guys. Hold on. Okay. You're unclaimed then, he said. Fuck, I lost my spot.
This is with a dubious consent.
No, I like scrolled up to page one by accident. We have to start again.
Okay, let's take it from the top.
Take it, roll it back. Okay, where was I? Right. You're unclaimed then, he said, his voice taking on an animalistic quality. This must be my lucky day. I never expected to find an unclaimed bitch in heat right here in Congress Hall. No, George, Adams begged. Please just go home. I don't think so, John. I think you'd better be good to me if you don't want all of Congress to find out that the vice is an omega. As he spoke, Washington stepped out of his pants, revealing his enormous, throbbing Adams couldn't...
Am I the only...
Okay, wait.
It's a dog, dude. Yeah.
Oh, so he has actually a dog.
No, it's a wolf dick. It's a wolf dick.
Same thing.
Okay.
Exact same thing.
I was not, when I wrote this, banking on you not knowing about ABO. Adams couldn't hide his excitement at the sight. Without another word, Washington walked over to the couch, manhandled Adams into a submissive position on all fours, and rooted his inside Adams's dipping omega. In the same moment, he sank his teeth deep into Adams's shoulder, leaving a bloody claiming mark that Washington knew would scar beautifully.
I feel like I want to bleep certain words on this, but only like completely inoffensive words.
I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Anyway, yeah. So Bradley is hard as a fucking. Every single ounce of blood in his body is inside of his right now. He never even knew it was possible to be this hard. Is a possibly record-breaking erection. Eventually, Jamboree finishes reading, and the crowd once again goes wild. Bradley tries to join them, but can't move his arms because there's not enough blood left in them. Jamboree bows to the audience and reports, well, I can just meet you. I can just meet you and no one will ever know. Jamboree bows to the audience and returns to Bradley. She looks a little nervous when she sees that he's not clapping like everyone else.
So, what did you think?
That was the hottest thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. I think we should get married?
Jamboree beams at him.
Oh, Bradley, you've made me the happiest pervert in the whole world. Do you want to come back to my place and read more of my fanfiction?
Do I ever?
Jamboree and Bradley go back to Jamboree's apartment. You don't even want to know what they got up to for the rest of the night. 2 days later, fuck it. 2 days later, they are wed. For once, everybody lives happily ever after, except for Harrison Nevernude, who tried to put his dick inside the hole in his television and got stuck. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Matthew, I don't know how you feel, but I don't think I can ever look at or talk to Storm again.
Oh yeah, definitely not. No, that ship has sailed for sure. Yeah.
I think also I want to quit this podcast.
Yeah.
And maybe like I'll start another one with Matthew, but just everything has to be different, you know?
If Jeffrey Tambor goes missing, is that a Tambor alert?
All right. I'm going to stop recording now probably. I'm not. Yeah, let's keep going. What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
We don't have Amber Alerts here in the UK. If you go missing, that's just your burden to bear.
Oh, there's just nothing? Nothing.
We have milk cartons.
Still?
Yeah, we actually just got them.
I just learned something about that. Like, I was watching a YouTube video about like the starts of Amber Alerts. And I think they started using milk to get people to buy more milk. Like, they were putting them on there to get people to buy milk.
Well, has anybody considered that maybe the milk industry was behind the kidnappings in the first place?
Wait, no way.
She goes all the way to the top.
We need to get to the first milk CEO, the cow.
It's the cow's doing.
If, let's say milk was behind, kidnappings, do you think that vegetarians would be like, well, we still can't eat the cows, but like they kind of caused all of it because of the milk, right?
Yeah. Is there a crime so huge that vegans would just be like, all right,
you have to ask me if it was a sin.
Sorry, I forgot you didn't do that religion shit.
Yeah, man, I'm anti-religion. Let's go through all the religions I don't like.
All right, go.
Christianity.
Uh-huh.
Catholicism.
Wow. Yep. There you go. That's me.
I don't... Buddhism.
You just call me a Fenian?
What?
Continue.
Sorry, you said Fenian?
Our zero Scottish listeners are really going to appreciate that one. Continue.
Yeah, you know that you're the only one.
He's not even a listener.
You call me a slur. Continue. The only slur I can be called. Except for cracker.
Sorry, going back to the story, you did say that there were slurs in this one, and there were no slurs.
I never said there were slurs in this one. I actually said there were no slurs in
sorry,
this one.
Wait, sorry, none of those words she just read count as slurs? What kind of world do we live in?
Surprisingly,
I said that it was going to be... I said that it was going to be NC-17, incredibly offensive and possibly unusable, but I never said there was slurs.
Sorry, we've definitely said slurs. Hold on. Did I dream this? Because the last time either of us said slurs was 2 years ago. Did we not even talk about that before?
No, at the top of the recording, we were talking about slurs.
More like MC, and I was XX saying that- Vampire. Sorry, on you go.
Anyways, what's up?
Yeah, no, sorry, Storm a while ago, yeah, said NC, said NC-17, so I was like, yeah. I was going to say more like MCXX Vampire Lover XX, the character in the story was read, but then I was like, oh, was it that? So I went on the script and I checked. And then I was like, oh God, I'm really worried it's going to be too late by the time I finally say this. And no one's going to know what the fuck I'm talking about. And then I finally got in a gap in the conversation. I said it. And then I couldn't really get out.
If each of us had to make a fan, if each of us had to write a fan fiction, what would we write it about? What would the tags be? Go ahead. Matthew, you first. Actually, no. Storm, you go first because you're more,
you're part of the community.
What's the word?
You represent the community.
Yeah, you're part of the community. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I would write a fan fiction about if I had to? If you put a gun to my head and made me write a fan fiction.
Okay.
It would be about the guy from the Lego movie, you know, the main guy, discovering his gender identity.
Emmett discovering his gender identity. Cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't know the name of that guy. Yeah.
What fan fiction would you write?
I would probably write... Oh, I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Count of Monte Cristo, and it's almost 1,300 pages. And it's very, very boring. So I would probably write fanfic of that, but just sort of rewrite the book and make it maybe 800 pages shorter, and they're fucking in it. And then it's readable.
Old books aren't good.
Alexandre Dumas, I hope you're taking notes in your grave. Pussy dead. He's dead as
well,
shit.
Well, Eric.
So, yeah, mine would be probably about One Piece. It would probably be like Marco Phoenix and Ace and Sabo. And then also Marco and Ace. And then probably Marco and Sabo. And then Ace and Sabo. It would probably feature like, if I had to guess, like explicit sexual content, body worship, insecurity, grinding, threesome, male, other additional tags to be added, rimming, face sitting, oral sex, cross dressing, lingerie, frottage, sex toys, objectification, role play, anal sex, mirror sex, dirty talk, aftercare, orgasm delay / denial, safe, sane, and consensual, safe words, blindfolds, cum sharing, master / pet, mildly dubious consent, anal fingering, finger fucking, prostate massage, desk sex, semi-public sex, public sex, choking, autoerotic asphyxiation, breath play, free use, stuck in the wall, double penetration,
tune in next week to find out what the boys get into next. Though it's probably more books because of the library thing. Yeah.